Two old friends bumped into each other in the street one day. Hadn't seen each other for a while, and the one said, "Happy Thanksgiving." He said, "Well, I hope it's good for you. I don't have much to be thankful for this week." He said, "Well, what do you mean? What's happened?" He said, "Well, 3 months ago, my uncle died, and he left me $40,000. He said, "Wow, I'm sorry about your uncle, but I bet you're full of Thanksgiving because of his generosity." He said, "Well, yeah, but then 2 weeks ago, my cousin I never knew, really knew, died and left me $48,000. He said, "Wow, sorry about your cousin, but sounds like you've been blessed." He said, "Yeah, but you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited $250,000. He says, "Well, sounds like you have a lot to be thankful for. What can be taken away from that thankfulness?" He said, "Well, this week, no one has left me any money." Today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and in just 4 days as a nation, whether dining on your own or with a family and friends, there'll be kids and adults that will all assemble in remembrance of the original feast, the thankfulness to God and to each other of the original pilgrims and Native Americans. I saw a cartoon one time. It said, "Do you know what the Native Americans said when they saw the pilgrims' ships coming toward their land? Great, boat people. We are the original boat people, so we came unto that land that was already here." We pause to reflect on our many blessings and our gratitude. And on Thursday this week, though, another health condition will also come across this land. And from it, people will bloat and groan and faint into sleep, and all with a contented smile on their face. It's called the turkey coma, otherwise known as the colossal carbohydrate condition. We all will probably fall into it in some way. But there's a great tradition in many homes. It was in mine growing up, and maybe in yours for Thanksgiving. There was the presence of two different tables. There was the kids' table and the adult table. Do you remember those? Pastor Paula said when she was at the kids' table, she longed to move from the kids' table to the adult table. And when she finally did, she found that the adult table was boring. But the kiddie table was usually a smaller table. Remember that red shiny one in its day? Remember those? Back in the day, I was talking to my wife Deb about the kiddie table. She said, "I like the kiddie table because after they prayed, the adults were not in the kitchen. And I could throw in the trash can all the vegetables I didn't want." But I want to take a few moments to speak about the dynamics of the kids' table and the adult table. And I want to feast for a little bit today on the rich portions of gratitude and thanksgiving that each table represents. In Deuteronomy 8, 7 to 18, we read about, we're starting with the kids' table. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." Verse 10, I want to finish on this. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Some 1,000 years before the first Thanksgiving, there was a people, the people of Israel, who had so much to be thankful for, and Moses is telling them about this. God delivered his people, Israel, from the years of slavery and cruelty under Pharaoh, and God sent 10 progressively devastating plagues upon Pharaoh and his people, demanding that Pharaoh let his people go. And the final 10th plague, the death of the firstborn son of every Egyptian family, including Pharaoh's, was the final one that broke Pharaoh into letting people go. And God's blessing went with them, as we read in verses 15 and 16. "He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors never had known, to humble and test you so that in the end you might go well, it might go well with you." So not only had God provided for them through delivering them and providing for them, but God also had ahead of them a promised land. It says that in that 7, "The Lord your God will bring you into a good land with the brooks and the streams and the water and the hills, a land flowing with milk and honey." In this Deuteronomy passage, he gives us a very simple, very elementary prodding. This is what I'm calling the kids' table. You see it in verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Don't forget who brought you out. Don't forget the blessings. Don't forget what God has done for you. Moses is telling them the best is before you, but he knows there's a flaw in human nature that we kind of think we deserve what all comes into our lives as blessings. That's why he says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord, your God, for the good things he has given you. At too many Thanksgiving dinners, people will sit down, maybe these days, rush through a brief prayer, gorge with food, plop on a couch or a chair, turn on the TV without a thought of all that we have to be thankful for. Gratitude is something we have to practice. We have to stir up within us. We have to think it through. It's not natural. So as the psalmist says in 107 verse 2, I'd like to say one point first to say, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord, what are those words? Say so. Those he redeemed from trouble. This is the most basic level of the kids' table, to teach them, the children, that we say that we're thankful. All the people around you are a blessing. All the things around us are a blessing. All the things in our lives are a blessing. And we should say so. To one another, as well as, of course, above all, to our Lord God. So I'll start it. Thank you for being here today. I'm glad you're here. Turn to someone and say, I'm glad you're here. I saw a couple husbands and wives didn't want to say it to each other, but we'll move on. This is the most basic level of gratitude, just to say so. When your spouse blesses you, say so. When your children bless you, say so. When the people around you bless you, say so. This week of Thanksgiving is a golden opportunity to turn to those in your life and to say so. To tell them you're thankful for them and you love them. It's the most basic level of gratitude, the beginning level, to say so. And the psalmist and Moses challenge us all to begin growing in this, to thank each other, and above all, to thank God and not forget him. And this kids' table is a great example of where to start with saying so. Yes, I tested the chair already. Let me ask you some questions. How many of you don't have to raise hands, just think, pray before your meals and thank God as a family? How many of your children have you instructed in saying a table blessing? It could be God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our... It could be anything to teach them how to do that. You know, it's kind of especially special to Deb and I when we go out to one of your homes or at a restaurant with you and your children are there. I've been so blessed because so many of your children, you've taught them to say the blessing, even at a restaurant in public. It might be a simple one, but that's a good start. What an opportunity for teaching the children about being grateful to a generous God, to teach them early to pray. Every day God blesses our tables of our lives with blessings. I ask you another question. When you sit down at a meal all by yourself, whether it's in your home or in the break room at the office or at a restaurant, maybe by yourself or with your family or friends, do you and your family pause to practice the most basic kids' table level of thankfulness by thanking God for his provision and faithfulness? You're not doing it as a show. You're doing it to thank God. How many of us do that? Even at fast food or a nice restaurant? How many, and maybe even an uncomfortable situation where people may not be totally of our faith, would you say, would you mind if I offered a blessing? How many of us want to love God and thank him that much for it? In Deuteronomy 8:10, it says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. I'd like to hear these words, for the. Remember, I want you to praise the Lord your God, thank the Lord your God, praise the Lord your God for the, For the what? This is, again, the kitty table of thankfulness as a Christian, and many people don't even make it here to this table or even away from that table. God gives us all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and many of us even neglect even an hour and 15 minutes in worship to him once a week for the many things. Help me out for a second. Lord God, I thank you for the... Somebody? The sun. For the... Excuse me? Yes, anybody else? Life. For my nose, for my clothes, for my roof, for my spouse, for the running water that comes out like magic out of a spigot. For people who believe in me, for air conditioning and heating, and for freedom to worship, and brothers and sisters sitting around me, and the grace you give me, and the prayers you've answered. Thank you. Thank you for the, thank you for the, thank you for the. And that's the most simple way at the kids' table. We teach them and ourselves, we all have to learn this, to yes, thank God for these things, these blessings we have, so many around us. But how many of us are walking in blessings that we prayed about and we haven't even stopped to thank God yet? How many of us prayed and had people pray for us and it came through and we just said, oh, that's good. We didn't really thank God yet. True and sincere thankfulness begins at the kids' table. And some of us, even advanced in age, in development as people of great, need to develop as people of gratefulness, but we're still at the kids' table. It's like the story of an old and wealthy businessman, most wealthy man in a community, and they needed a new library. So he donated almost all the money for this wonderful new library, and it was very generous. And so they had a big banquet to celebrate, and they had him at the head table, and they said, please, before we begin our meal, will you please give us a prayer to begin this evening? He was a little startled. He said, okay. So he bowed his head, and everybody bowed their head, and he started to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep, because that's the only prayer he knew. We don't want to stay there at that kid's table. We should never stop expressing to God through gratitude and thanksgiving and praise for the many blessings that he showers upon us. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to stay at that level of thankfulness in my life. Amen? I want to take that. I want to continue that. I want to grow in that. But I don't want to stay there at that table and not really give God his proper faithfulness and thanks. Well, so Scripture gives us another example, and the example of David. David, a shepherd, and who came king. But he wrote the familiar song to all of us, the 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd's Song. And why don't you read this along with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. It's not mature gratitude to give God thanks for what he's given you. That's just politeness. So David comes and says, I want you to move from the kiddie table to the adult table. So while Moses was teaching the people to give thanks to God on the most basic level for this blessing, for that blessing, for this blessing, David takes it to a whole different level for the adult table. He says something interesting in Psalm 23. In verse 4, he says, even though, instead of for the, he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Moses teaches us to thank God at the kids' table for the. David comes along and takes us to a wholly different table, even though. Even though I walk through a valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. I'm going to thank you and praise you and honor you and trust in you. Even though, and this is a mature form of gratitude. The kids' table is gratitude for the mature table is gratitude that even though. His name was Horatio Spofford, a Presbyterian layman from Chicago and had a very successful legal practice and a devout Christian. And among one of his closest friends was the evangelist Dwight L. Moody, also from Chicago. Yet great sadness entered his life within a short period of time. Their son died of scarlet fever at the age of 4. Spofford was heavily invested in real estate along Chicago's Lake Michigan shoreline and lost almost everything in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Then desiring a rest for his wife and 4 daughters, as well as to join and assist Moody in one of his evangelistic campaigns, he planned a trip to Europe for his family. Some unexpected business arose, so he had to stay back, and he sent his wife and 4 daughters on ahead on a ship, and he would follow in a few days. On the voyage over, though, the ship was struck by another ship and sank in 12 minutes. Several days later, the survivors were finally landed in Wales, and Mrs. Spofford cabled her husband these 2 words: "Saved alone." He left immediately to join his wife, and as his ship approached the area where the ship carrying his daughters went down, he penned this powerful hymn: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Even though, the kids' table is where we thank God for what we can see, for the food, the provisions, the blessings, but the adult table is where we learn to trust God and still thank God even when we cannot see. Are we only going to express gratitude and thankfulness and praise when good things are happening? Or are we mature enough to trust in God to thank Him even though? Which table are you sitting at today? Where do you want to sit? Am I only going to trust Him and thank Him when it's easy? Or am I also going to trust Him and thank Him when it's hard? Even though knows He is still present, even in the darkness. At the kids' table, we thank Him for His presence. At the grown-up table, we thank Him for His presence. In verse 5 of Psalm 23, He says, "You prepare a table before me." But listen to those next words. Remember them? "In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Have you ever found that phrasing, "my enemies," a little confusing? That God will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Yep, that's what the wording means. It means clearly David had enemies that wanted to desire to do him harm, but there are also numerous other enemies in our lives. The enemies, yes, are people that may want to do us harm, but there are also other things in our lives that come and attack us. These enemies can steal our joy, our peace, our trust, our praise, our thankfulness. And you're going to need this if you're going to be a big boy or girl and not sit at the baby table all the time and the kids' table grow up all the time and want to grow up and be at this table. You need to be thankful, whatever the circumstances, no matter the enemies, the distraction, the thieves that are there to take away your joy or your thankfulness. Your enemies at the table. Well, let's give them a few name cards. In the presence of my disappointments is sitting there at the table with me. The presence of my loneliness is sitting here with me. The presence of my relationship struggles is sitting here with me. The presence of my depression is sitting there with me. In the presence of my enemies. Can you keep your eyes and your heart fixed on the presence of God in the presence of these enemies at your table, in your life? Can you have your heart and eyes fixed on the presence of God in the presence of these enemies of your trust and your thankfulness? You can if you do one thing. Remember who's at the head of your table. "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies." God is at the head of your table. No matter the circumstances around you. That's why He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." No matter the circumstances around me, you can fear no evil, for he is at the head of your table. He's at the head of your life. So sit at the table of maturity and fear no evil. Eat with a joyful and a thankful heart, even in the middle of all that. For Jesus sits at the table, at the head of the table with you. And in your mature and thankful heart, realize that even the enemies of the table with you will be used by your God to bring blessings into your life. I am seated at the table that God has set to feed and bless me in my life. I have a seat at a table of blessing. I can handle the enemies of God because not only does he know them, but he's going to use them in my life. So I sit down at the table of all kinds of nonsense, but I keep my eyes fixed on the one who has begun a good work in me and will carry it on to completion. Amen? For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Turn the tables on the things that are attacking you and see it as the thing that God is using to bring you purpose and meaning in your life. Be thankful for the many blessings that we can see that God showers us with. But better yet, grow by being thankful, even though. Shout for me, even though. Say it again, even though. Even though my enemies try to take me down, I'm still standing and I'm still thankfully praising. And I'm still sitting at the table, God's table of blessing, and I'm filled with thanksgiving. Keep your seat at the adult table and don't run crying to the kids' table. Grow up. God's been good to you. He knows he has plans for you. Tell one another next to you, grow up. Come on. It may take a little while, but God's bringing together a good table. I've sat at the table. I've had enemies. I've had adversities. I've had challenges. And people that deserve to sit at the adult table know that God is sovereign above all things and that his purpose will always be brought out of it. In Romans 8:28, and we know, do we know this as we sit at this table, that all things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you trust him? Do you praise him because of his purpose? Psalm 46, 1-8 says, God is our refuge and strength and every present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. This is where you trust the one who set the table before you and sits at the table with you. And the one who set the table before you and set your enemies before you has also prepared the meal. David was not praising that his enemies were cooking up something. David was praising because his God was cooking up something and using his enemies as the ingredients. Amen? If you want to have a PhD in gratitude, you don't just praise God in spite of your enemies, but you actually look at the things you're going through and say, you know, I've eaten at the table of the Lord long enough, and I've been blessed by his meal that he served me through my life, that I know that all this will work together for good as he uses it in my life. I trust the one who set this table before me. I trust the one who has these enemies at the table of my life. I have tasted enough food from this cook to trust him now and forever. God longs for us to serve, to love, and to offer him thankfulness and gratitude in the middle of the stew, because we know whatever he's cooking, whatever he's going to serve up, is going to be good. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to be good. Got to be good. I can take the heat because my God's at the table. I can take the heat because my God picked the enemies around me as his ingredients for my blessing. I can take the heat because my God is cooking. I will give you praise for whatever you're cooking up in my life. I want to thank you for every ingredient that you allow in my life because I know that you know the plans that you have for me. And I know that if any of these ingredients, any of these enemies, any of these sitting at my table were not supposed to be in the pot, they wouldn't be there. You wouldn't let him into the pot. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Trust the cook. The psalmist says in 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and in my song I will praise him." Andre Crouch wrote in a beautiful song, "Through It All," "I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God." Back in the days when they used for somebody that had trouble with breathing in their lungs and lung problems, they had a thing called the iron lung. It's a huge metal iron device, a tube, if you will, with a window. And a person would lay in there. They had to survive in there. That was where they lived. And a little girl was put in that iron lung. She would have to live in that thing for probably her whole life. And it was a Thanksgiving day, and they gathered around her, and they had a big Thanksgiving dinner, and then everybody kind of went to their couches. They all, of course, talked to her and were around her, and it was just a very difficult, but it was a Thanksgiving day. At the end of the day, the mom came through to see how she was doing. Everybody had left. And it was dark, and the moon was out, and the stars were out, and she looked in. The little girl was crying. Mom said, "Honey, are you okay?" She said, "Oh, Mom, I'm really good." She said, "Well, why are you crying?" He said, "Well, I decided I would just look up at the stars and I would pick a star and I would think of something I was thankful for with each star." She said, "Well, honey, that's very nice, but why are you crying?" She says, "Mommy, I've run out of stars." Wow. There are two Thanksgiving tables. Yes, we are thankful for the many wonderful blessings, gifts. Those are so simple, and we need to continue to thank God for that. We also need to be mature enough at the adult table and say, "Lord God, even though I don't see, I'm in the dark, I don't understand, I know that you're at the head of my table. You set this table. You're going to use all these things that are going on in my life as the ingredients for this wonderful table and this wonderful meal. And I will, in the process, in the middle, in the dark, and all the way through, and especially at the end, I will give you thanks." All God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Father God, as we have come today, we just ask you, Lord, to help us remember, as we celebrate this week, that every day, you are preparing the Thanksgiving table before us. Maybe we may be mature, yes, and thank you for the many things. And Lord, even though there are things, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.